I thought to myself in the middle of the show, there's nobody I'd rather have give perspective on what to me is a fairly significant night at the ballpark than Dejan Kovacevic. So we put up the Twitter bat signal, and sure enough, because you're a wonderful human being, you oblige. Can I ask you first, though, before we get started into your anger with an unknown entity that I won't say anything about till you say it, how was your time with Mr. Seibel this afternoon?
We had a blast. That's funny. I thought I was coming in for one segment, and during the first segment, he goes, "And our guest for the next hour." And I'm going, "What?" So it was fun. I'm not complaining. We had a blast.
I was going to say, if he didn't actually stamp that, then you didn't have to stay for the hour, but I'll digress right there. So before we try to put into perspective what went on at the ball yard today, let's fast forward to afterwards. You have a bone to pick with a certain Twitter feed, yes?
It's not a Twitter feed.
Oh, it was actually their website?
No, it's the entity. It's Major League Baseball, okay? Look, when the Pirates stunk, okay, and I covered them for a long time, they lost 105 games last year, and I would hear from readers who would say, "Boy, I sure wish ESPN would do this," or "I sure wish Fox would do this," or "Sport." No, they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn it. And any bit of humiliation that they got, including from my own writing, they very much deserved. I had no issue with that. But when the team is doing well, it deserves to have some attention from the governing body of the sport. That's Major League Baseball. They are the ones who run MLB.com. They are the ones who have the MLB Twitter feed on which tonight you can find highlights of the Mets game.
Oh, well, you can go to, it's the Mets game at least.
You can go to MLB.com right now, and the top story on there is the Yankees rainout. And yeah, I know Derek Jeter is 2 hits away and everything. The top story is a rainout, Chris.
That's not good. That's now, misplaced priorities, at least in my mind, and I'm trying to say this as a guy that's trying not to get fired up.
The reason that I'm making this point, and I've already had a bunch of readers misunderstand this, it's not about national media. It's not about national attention or glory. It's about the way the governing body of the sport, of that sport, baseball, looks at Pittsburgh. To them, not to Bud Selig, but to the people who work under him, Pittsburgh is an afterthought. Now, if they were ever to hold a conference with Roger Goodell, Gary Bettman, and ask them what Pittsburgh means to the NFL and to the NHL, those two commissioners would fawn like crazy. The NHL would be a shell of what it is without the city of Pittsburgh, without the ratings that they bring. Pittsburgh is number one in U.S. ratings, not just in percentages, but in total households. When it comes to hockey, it's not far off the top when it comes to football. It's because we're nuts here. We're crazy. We love sports. Last I checked, the Pirates still play in that same Pittsburgh, not the bizarro version that hates sports. We're starting to see that at PNC Park, not just because of the numbers, not because of the sellouts, but because those people that are there are cheering sacrifice bunts. They're cheering when a guy gives himself up to get a run over to second base. They're cheering because they actually want the team to win. They're not cheering because they're at the Kennywood version of baseball, meaning, you know, PNC Park and everything else that it has.
Yes.
They're there because they care about the baseball. Because why? Because it's Pittsburgh and we're into sports. And the Pirates have been here for 125 years. They're part of the fabric. That didn't go away because they were terrible for 18 years. Major League Baseball's business people. They're people who run their websites, who do their promotions, who do MLB Network, are completely distorted and clueless about this. The commissioner isn't. I've spoken with Bud Selig on this topic. Last year, he and I talked, Chris, for close to 45 minutes, and that was a half hour more than I was allotted to talk to him, but he was the one that kept the conversation going, and I respect that. He wanted to tell me how important Pittsburgh was to him because he's a guy from Milwaukee, which is a market that's two-thirds the size of Pittsburgh, and how important it was for him to see the Brewers getting better and teams like Kansas City and Tampa that are similar-sized areas. St. Louis is actually a very similar market to Pittsburgh. A lot of people don't realize that. And I believe him when he said it. I also believe that his people who work under him, all based in New York, have no idea what that means and don't get it at all. And unless they were to go and talk to the people from the NFL and the NHL, they can't understand what Pittsburgh can mean to a sports league. Eventually they'll get it. Okay, eventually. Look, it took the Brewers a year and a half to get noticed by anybody from the time they started getting good.
But so eventually they'll get it.
Eventually they'll get it. In the meantime, it's symptomatic and I think emblematic of why Major League Baseball gets away with having this ridiculously imbalanced economic system and all kinds of other inequities that are in place that benefit teams that are based in larger population areas.
Let me ask you this, because it is a sport that I think favors the big markets. Doesn't it seem, and we're talking with Dejan Kovacevic of the Trib on the Rivertown Hotline here, an impromptu session, doesn't it seem from a PR standpoint that it would behoove Major League Baseball, who likes to trumpet in this setup that is more favorable to the big markets, wouldn't it make sense to trumpet the success of a smaller market, smaller revenue team to show, to drive home the point that they always like to drive home, that there really is parity in baseball?
Yes, it would, but that's not even how I look at it.
Okay, that was just an offshoot thought of mine, yeah.
No, but you're right. But if Major League Baseball's people are looking at it correctly, they're not looking at it like, well, let's tell the Cinderella tale. No. What you're doing is taking advantage of one of the most passionate, rabid, insane sports markets in the United States. You're not doing – you don't – Major League – Pittsburgh doesn't need Major League Baseball to do it any favors. Okay? It's the other way around. I used to say this, and I got mocked for it at the time. Whenever the Penguins were in big trouble about a decade ago and had all that bankruptcy stuff, I wrote at the time, and I do remember getting all kinds of snarly mail for this, that the NHL needs Pittsburgh more than Pittsburgh needs the NHL. That ended up being 100% true. I don't get any, I don't get any retractions from the people who made fun of me at the time, but it ended up being completely true. I feel the same way about Major League Baseball. Okay. Pittsburgh can be a really good market for it. Any intelligently run business wants to grow and expand its business. The Yankees aren't going to grow or expand their already fantastically huge fan base. Red Sox Nation isn't going to get a whole lot more rabid than it is. What you want to do if you're a smart business is to build up these teams when they're doing well so that you can grow your own business, so that the pool of revenue for all of Major League Baseball, so that the television ratings for all of Major League Baseball, the television ratings for the All-Star Game, which is a completely separate issue, but not really. What do you think those will be in Pittsburgh? If
poor.
The only guy in it is Joel Hanrahan.
Poor.
It's not going to do well. But if you have the whole city excited about the Pirates, and the Pirates make it through the break in first place and have one representative in the game, get the Elias Sports Bureau on that one.
Never happened. I don't believe.
Did you already look that up?
I believe it's never happened. Yep.
One representative off a first-place team. That's it. Kevin Correa is probably going to end up going as a substitute. But for now, that's a farm little poke there. The Los Angeles Dodgers are in last place. They'll have three representatives.
And they have a wonderful owner who's committed to winning, too, by the way. But I just thought I'd throw that barb out there.
Well, I just thought MLB did themselves a favor because they're running the Dodgers now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm going to say this again. I'm going to get misunderstood and misrepresented when I say these things because everyone's going to think I'm talking about national media, national attention. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the governing body of the sport. It's just basically saying, Pittsburgh,
Is it going to take like a season or two of really competitive, successful baseball for the disconnect there to stop being a disconnect?
No. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take Yeah, maybe that much in terms of time, but it's going to take them seeing actual money come from Pittsburgh. It's going to take them seeing improved television ratings, improved ratings for national games, things like that for them to go, oh, yeah.
Wait,
I heard that from the football guy.
A national game? A Pirates national game? Surely you jest.
I don't want to get ridiculous here.
Surely you jest.
I do, and stop calling me Shirley.
Bravo. I mean, what do I even have to say to that? I was hoping you'd go in that direction.
I also want to point out here that I'm not exactly in some bad mood. I know we opened with the Pistols, and I'm on a rant here.
Of course, yes. Can we transition over to the part that made everybody in a good mood tonight?
But, yeah, we can. That home run, I sat down here to type the blog, and I have a blog up that kind of on triblive.com that you can find without much effort. It's on the sports page and on the Pirates page, where I tried to put the Mike McHenry home run in perspective. Okay, so going back over, you know, the 18 years, going back over the history of PNC Park, and I came trying to come up with a list of the five most important home runs hit at PNC Park, and I ended up with the Mike McHenry home run.
That's it?
That's it.
Because
everything
important.
Else that happened, and I was at most of these games, the Brian Giles shot off of Billy Wagner, the Pedro Alvarez's homer last year, Rob Mikoliak in the doubleheader, Jason Michaels in that great comeback a few years back. Those were all really dramatic, but I'm not talking about dramatic. I'm talking about important. This was the first one. To my mind, in the 18-plus years since 1992, there have been exactly two important, truly important home runs for the Pirates. One was Mark Smith because it created a bit of history with the no-hitter. And two was this. And I really don't think that's exaggerating the point. You're talking about putting the team in, for heaven's sake, they had a chance to be in first place tonight. You know, that's remarkable. It's stunning. Mike McHenry, it took no more than 2 seconds after that ball landed in the bleachers that I pictured Kevin Polkovich doing that off of Curt Schilling.
I was going to say, I started the show after that point tonight when he hit the home run, the game was over, by saying that I have played a game with my friends, with coworkers in the bullpen of what would be the least likely Pirates batter and opposing team pitcher home run combination, and McHenry's name generally came up as the Pirates batter when you would face him off against any elite pitcher in the league. I mean, that's what I was thinking. 0-2, good night. Carlos Marmol will throw something that starts middle of the plate and ends up in the first base dugout.
Yeah, I honestly wonder, and this isn't the slightest criticism on the 37,000 that were there, but I wonder how many people in the stadium really knew what happened. Carlos Marmol has, and I do these surveys every spring. I go around Bradenton and ask guys who has the best curveball, who has the filthiest slider, whatever. To a man, these guys will really take their time with some questions. They don't hesitate when they say that Marmol's got the filthiest stuff in the National League, starters or relievers.
Just unhittable when he's on.
And if you're right-handed. And if you're Mike McHenry. And he hit that ball. It was a no-doubter. He could have flipped the bat and watched it.
I got to say, and let me set the scene from my end again, JB and I had just finished like a rather maudlin conversation about what happened in Arlington, which I don't want to get into, but I mean, just to set the scene, we're sitting here talking back and forth on the air, and we reacted to the Harrison bloop single, which was nice because you had a feeling the Pirates were definitely going to get that run across and Walker slid home safely. And then we kept talking and we kept talking. And McHenry hit the ball and neither of us saw the old TV version of where you see the trajectory, you know, coming off the bat and you can make a judgment for yourself as to what happened. And we saw for the briefest second, we both looked up and looked back down. We saw Soriano standing there and I think reasonably assumed, oh, well, it's another Mike McHenry fly out to medium depth left field.
Right, and Soriano's clueless yet again as it's going to bounce right behind him, if you'll remember that game here a couple years ago.
Right, we're just thinking, though, the phrase that popped through my head was, can a corn McHenry, oh, well, at least he put, I said to myself almost out loud, I had to bite off the words, at least he got a bat on the ball. And then I realized that Soriano had actually turned and taken a few steps and that crowd, you could see even on the TVs in here was going nuts. Yeah. They were going nuts. Yeah. It was incredible to me. It was improbable is about the best word I can come up with.
Yeah, it's also, and you know, at the risk of playing violin music and everything else here, what the Pirates have done is remarkable. That player might reasonably be considered, even though he came from another organization, their fifth string catcher. Okay, if you could, if you count all the guys who went down and other options that they had, and them going outside the organization and bringing in this guy who was blocked in Boston, it's an amazing thing, but it's also emblematic. I mean, you've heard Neil Walker talk about it. I've heard a lot of these guys talk about everybody pitching in. I'm sure you've been over this on your show, but you know, Pedro Siriaco's slide.
Unbelievable slide. And just Colin Dunlap was all over that, but an unbelievable slide.
But stuff that I haven't heard from as many readers and emailers tonight is about Daniel McCutchen coming in and getting that out.
Yep.
This guy was an I'm party to this, was left for dead last year. I didn't think anything was going to come of him. I saw a guy throwing straight 90-mile-an-hour fastballs and getting rocked. He's proved a lot of people wrong, and there's a long list of those guys in there, most of them pitchers. But, it still comes down to that kid hitting a home run off Carlos Marmol. And, you know, regardless of what happens the rest of the season, whether that is the great turning point for the franchise or anything, I know there's a lot of people walking around justifiably tonight with goosebumps, it's still going to be something that none of us are going to forget. It's a remarkable moment in Pittsburgh sports. It really is. That, to me, Chris, watching that ball sail over that fence and land in those bleachers in a sellout crowd, it felt symbolic. It felt almost therapeutic.
Catharsis.
It felt like, everything that just happened for 18 years is actually over.